In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The first line in the Gospel that we prayed, it said, now it happened the day after. The day that they are speaking of is when the Lord Jesus Christ was met by a centurion in the way. And he said, my servant is ill. And he said to the Lord, one of the things that distinguishes his faith above that of all the rest, Lord, I know who you are. I know who I am. If I tell one under me to do something, it will be done. I know you are the same. Say a word. Just say a word. And this is the important part. Say a word. Now, why did the people at the end say that a great prophet has risen up amongst us? This is the last verse that we prayed today. Why do they say it was a great prophet? Because a prophet is a conduit. A conduit or a pipeline. Think of something like water that comes through a pipeline. You don't care about the pipe, do you? The pipe is of no importance unless the pipe is leaching into the water something that makes it poisonous for you to drink, or something that dirties it, or something that causes the taste to be bad. But otherwise, the pipe would just be invisible. The pipe is meaningless. You want the water. And what comes through is the power of God. So they said, he spoke a word of God. That makes you a prophet. To speak a word of God makes you one of those who has the mind and the heart of God. Jesus now comes and upon this thing. The city is called Nain. Nain means a place of habitation. Like, for example, if you have animals in Hebrew, it can mean a pasture. But for people, it means that there were dwellings. It wasn't a place that was, you know, barren. Like, for example, if you go into farm country and you'll have a house and then acres of land and then far away, another house. Many houses, like a synovium, like a community. Many houses together. Now, as he comes upon this, he feels the tears of this old woman who is beside herself, because old women didn't have any support except for the men in their lives. So when a husband would die, the firstborn male would take over the responsibility of caring for his mother, the firstborn. The others may contribute if there are more than one man that she gave birth to, but the first one, it's automatically his responsibility. This is why at the death of our Lord on the cross, he said to the holy disciple, St. John, behold your mother. And to St. Mary, behold your son. It was a terrible thing for a woman. She would have been reduced to a life of begging. And if people would have mercy on her, okay. If not, maybe she would starve and die. So the Lord had great compassion on this scene. But he did something unusual. Instead of at some distance saying, woman, keep your peace, suppress your tears, your son is alive. Young man, arise. He didn't do that. It may be subtle, but think about it. He came and he touched. And what's the difference? This means that the power to bring life is an inherent property of God incarnate himself. Who were they looking at? It wasn't a prophet. It was a man whose power was just capable of not being besought, but capable of issuing forth because of his love and his kindness and his compassion for the state of man. And St. Ambrose of Milan has said, this is like the church. I spoke to you earlier about the property of the church and the gift of the church. But when you think about we who are the walking dead, that's a pun for some of you. We, the walking dead, until we approach the altar, and then we have life. We have real life. Not a semblance of life. Not the kind of life that you see an old man, you see his body decaying, you know that he soon will be put into the ground, but it is the kind of life that is restorative, that his soul and that his spirit will not be degraded. It's a power, and it's a gift of tremendous importance to all of us who are here. We are the clever ones. We are smart. We are not trading our time for something that is going to leave like a vapor. We are going to hold on to that which is permanent. Ambrose said that the church is like our mother, and the church weeps for those who are not here. I weep for those who are not here. My little grandson is not here. My wife is not here. My son is not here. His wife is not here. My daughter is not here. Do you understand? The church weeps. Because what did they choose? What did they choose? You can't make that decision for them. They have free will. They can choose anything else. Because there is no such thing as coerced love. You either love or you don't love. You who are here, you have love. Those who are not here have love of other things, whatever they may be. Now, the church keeps the doors open and waiting, like any mother does for her children. The church never closes the door, and the church will receive that child, even when the child is full of age. But will receive that child for repair and reconciliation because of love. It's the thing that you will experience the most when you take the body and the blood of your Savior. So, St. Ambrose, I agree with you. This is the place to come. It's legitimate. It's authentic. It is the place where you can be sure that no one will offer this of his own power, of his own talent or ambition. It is offered by the Lord himself. The Lord said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. I have this power. No one takes my life from me. And no one may have this life except I give it them. So God bless all of you. And praise God, I have come to this day where I feel very much contented in the receipt of communion myself. I hope that is how all of you feel, that you have a great gift that comes to you out of the Lord's ample bosom. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.